Within the first 3 minutes of meeting Deshaun, he was already talking about FFA. I couldn't remember his name at the time, but what I did know was that he was and still is very passionate about this organization. Because of that same shameless pride he exuberated in our first conversation, in addition to his humble aura and purposefully planted steps on the path God lays for him, Deshaun has done an outstanding job as national officer, and I couldn't be prouder of him.
Growing up with Deshaun, he was always my shadow. Anything that I did or anywhere I went, Sean was always right there to follow. Sometimes, as an older sibling, I was annoyed. But one thing I'm most proud of with him is him joining the FFA. Though my time in the organization came to an end after high school, Sean continued on and far exceeded what anyone expected from our small town of about 5,000 people. I've been able to watch Sean emerge into his own light, and I'm glad that he has been able to share that light with you all over this past year. So now, we proudly introduce to you
my best friend
and my little brother, Deshaun Blandon.
Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
Let's take a dive into my book of life. Now, we all know how stories begin, so let's say this together. Once upon a time. Awesome. Let's see here. Once upon a time, there was a boy who was running for freshman class president. So he decided to make a campaign checklist. One, slay his campaign speech. Check. One of the best speeches he's ever given. Two, make some awesome flyers. Check. Three, explain his platform of unity. Check. I mean, he even took it a step further and decided to make a suggestion box. And four, make allies and form a campaign team. His new friend Jamila became his campaign manager, and he formed an alliance with Asante, hopeful freshman class vice president, and Joshua, potential Mr. Freshman. Oh, and he couldn't forget the game-winning smile. he was pretty certain he had secured the presidency. And then, election day came. And for freshman class president, we have another runoff. He listened intently to who his opponent may be. The runoff is between David, he thought, I can handle David, and Tyleek. What? If he heard this correctly, he just lost. He campaigned tirelessly, spent his own dollars on campaign materials, and he knew he was qualified for the job, and he lost. But not only did he lose, he lost to no one other than David, his roommate. As y'all probably assumed, that boy was me, and disappointed, devastated, and defeated weren't enough to explain how I felt that day. So I decided to call the one person I knew who could tell me exactly what I needed to hear, my mama. Give it up for my mama. In a calm, gentle, and caring voice, she dug into her book of wisdom and said, Sean, I know you wanted to win, but realize that this loss is just a part of the book of life. There are other opportunities waiting for you in the next chapter. Angry, confused, and discouraged, I didn't want to hear that this is just a part of the book of life. But after some careful thinking and realizing that mama's always right, my frustrations transformed to understanding. See, life is like a book filled with unique stories and teachable lessons. Mama said that the pages of our lives are already written, and we're all going through life seeing what each chapter has to offer. But how often do we become fixated on one bad story in our lives and forget that there are hundreds of other good ones waiting in the next chapter. Just imagine it. How much more fulfilled our lives would be if we stopped questioning the book of life and started trusting in it. What if we found joy in that book of life? And what if joy required us to trust in the book of life? See, trusting in the book of life requires us to let go of the things beyond our control. Stop to listen and learn from life. And have hope that our next chapters will be better. Now see, in this chapter of my life, I have gotten to go to some pretty incredible places. From sunny Florida, to snowy Massachusetts, to the islands of Hawaii, to the deserts of Arizona. Throughout this incredible chapter, the highlight, though, has been meeting some incredible members. One member I often find myself reflecting on is my homeboy, Aaron, from the state of Wyoming. After a chapter visit at Aaron's school, Aaron and I found ourselves in the back of a dark, dimly lit stage, of all places, having a pretty nice life chat. Aaron actually reminded me a lot of myself as he was that quiet kid who broke through his comfort zone through leadership. His selflessness and caring attitude could be detected as he spoke. Currently serving as his chapter president, Aaron explained to me of how nervous and excited, but yet terrified and afraid he was of running for state office that week. Inquisitive and hoping to give some form of relief, I asked him, I said, "Hey Aaron, what are you afraid of?" He said, "Deshaun, I just don't think I could be myself this week." Still confused, I asked him to continue to explain, and he said, "Deshaun, state officers are really outgoing people, and I just don't think I can be that." Immediately, feeling empathy and understanding, I looked at him, I said, "Hey Aaron, I myself am an introvert, as I usually prefer to be quiet and reflective, but the best advice anyone has ever given me is to just be you, man." As the week progressed in his interviews, Aaron did something that many of us struggle with doing today. He let go. See, letting go is difficult because we naturally worry about things that we can't control. But trusting in the book of life is when we finally decide to let go of those problems. My homeboy Aaron can't control that he's an introvert, so why should he worry about it? Instead, he simply decided to let go of those problems. And because he did, he was able to be himself in those interviews and today serves as the state parliamentarian for the Wyoming FFA Association. What are you afraid to let go of? What problems beyond your control are you still worried about? Maybe you're running for an officer position, you did your best in your interviews after preparing, and now you're waiting. Or maybe you're going off to college. You're afraid of leaving your family and friends and starting over and making new friends. I've been in both of those situations. Or maybe it's more severe, like losing a loved one or battling a sickness. I've been there as well. But whatever those problems may be, we must decide to let go of them. I get it. Letting go ain't easy. But to demonstrate trust in the book of life, letting go is necessary. So let me hear an, "Oh yeah," if you love the great outdoors. Yeah. See, I do too. Because growing up in the country, there was nothing else to do. So my brother Darius and I love playing outside. From being NBA basketballers to our imaginary makeshift stores, we took delight in the strangest use of our imagination. And on this particular day, 5-year-old Deshaun was driving in his hot new red sports car, also known as Deshaun's tricycle. Yeah. Hopping out of my hot rod and over to my imaginary store, I looked down to realize my shoes were untied. I knew that this was a job for Dad. So I sprinted up the back stairs, walked up to the back door, walked up to Dad and said, "Dad, my shoes are untied." So Dad looked at me and said, "Son, I think it's time you learn how to tie your own shoes." So he picked me up, sat me down, and placed my foot on the table and continued. "All right, so you're going to put your finger down, you're going to pull, and you loop." So I gave it a try. Finger down, pull, loop. And just like London Bridge, my shoelaces came falling down. Impatient, irritated, and eager to go back outside of playing, I looked at my dad and I said, "You do it." Just a side note here, my dad does not take lightly to his children telling him what to do. If you got a parent like that, can I get a preach? Amen. So he immediately looked at me, expecting to hear a booming voice. Instead, I heard a gentle, caring voice say, "Son, it's time you learn. Finger down, pull, loop." I gave it another try, and I failed. Now, by this time, I was ready to give up, became impatient, and had a hissy fit and tantrum screams of, "I can't do it, I can't do it." So my dad looked at me and said, "Sean, stop crying. Finger down, pull, loop." So again, I try. And I failed. So I began screaming again, "I can't do it, I can't do it." Y'all, by this time, my dad was pretty frustrated by my lack of confidence, gave me a serious look that'll straighten up any bad child, and said in a stern voice, "Son, stop crying. Listen to what I'm trying to teach you, and you'll learn to do it on your own." Stop, listen, learn. Finger down, pull, loop. Finger down, pull, loop. Finger down, pull, loop. For the next 10 minutes, I stopped with the tears, listened to what Dad was trying to say, and tried to learn. And finally, finger down, pull, loop. I did it! With the happiest heart and the biggest smile, y'all, I felt like I had conquered the entire world. And all I had to do was just stop to listen and learn. See, stopping to listen and learn can be pretty annoying. But in life, it's essential. We oftentimes find ourselves feeling like we're at the happiest moments when suddenly we're hit with a thunderstorm. Instead of viewing that moment as despair and tragedy, how about we try to view it as a moment to stop, to listen, and learn? What lesson is life trying to teach you? Is it how to deal with loneliness with no one to turn to or to call a true friend? Or is it even heartbreak and tragedy and forgiveness? After that stupid boyfriend or that mean girlfriend dumps you? Or is it more severe, like depression, when absolutely nothing seems to be going your way? See, these problems and these lessons aren't created from thin air, but they are already written in the book of life. And trusting in the book of life is understanding that regardless of how difficult it may be, there is a lesson to be learned from my current story, my current chapter, my current paragraph. We all must stop to listen to what life is trying to teach us and learn from it. See, in this chapter of my life, I learned that now taking 5-10 minutes to stop listening and learn for a 5-year-old Deshaun was pretty difficult and pretty hard, excruciatingly painful, extremely difficult. But I've learned that as we get older, those lessons become harder than just tying shoes. This I had to learn in the summer of 2K16, the start of a pretty legit summer, y'all. I had just established the best group of friends at my university, was starting an internship with the USDA, and was spending the summer with the people I love the most, my family. I felt like I was floating on cloud 9 until I found myself. sitting on a couch in my grandmother's living room as she had just been rushed to the hospital. A few hours later, my mom called and explained to me that grandma was being admitted due to liver failure. She said, "Sean, get your sister and come here whenever you get a chance to." Thinking immediately to myself, this day cannot get much worse than this. Getting out of the shower, throwing on some clothes, and walking to grab my sister, I look down to see my phone vibrating, just thinking it's more updated news on grandma's condition. I grab it quickly. Instead, to see a message for one of my college friends. It read, "Hey man, is it true?" Confused, I went to our group message, began jumping through message after message until I stared with the sheer disbelief at a dreaded, completely unexpected message from Jamila. It read, "Hey friends, Asante passed away in his sleep last night." "What? What do you mean he passed away?" Confused and filled with complete emotion, we were soon hit with even more tragic news that his death was by suicide. Returning to our university, our question of what had shifted to how. How could he do this to himself? How could he do this to his family? How could he be so selfish? How could we be so selfish? How could we have not seen his signs of depression? How could we have not been there where he needed us the most? How are we going to continue this chapter in our lives without him? The answer to these questions was answered by a surprisingly unexpected person. On the night of his vigil at our university, everyone stood with heavy hearts by the reflection pool, solemn with sorrow and hurt. And through the quiet tears, a voice broke through. Mama Parkins, Asante's mother, began speaking to us. She spoke of the pain her family had faced, the tragedy of losing a son, a friend. She empathized with us, feeling our pain as we felt hers. And then, through her tears, she managed to shine a light in our darkness by encouraging us to find something she found in her darkest moments, something my dear friend Asante couldn't. Hope. See, hope is believing that there is a plan and a future for our lives. There's another lesson that will be better. There's another chapter that will be better. Hope is having the patience through your tragedy, through your suffering. Hope is understanding that the lessons I am learning now, I will be able to apply in the future. Just like a book, we don't put it down as soon as the protagonist faces extreme crisis and tragedy. No, we keep reading and hope that this next chapter will be better. And in the same way, trusting in the book of life is when we keep reading and hope that its next chapter will be better. What story are you struggling to make it through? Are you having hope not only in your chapter, but the helping others heal the wounds through the seemingly empty pages of theirs? Are you even demonstrating trust in the book of life by having hope deep down in your heart? See, through her smile and words of comfort, Mama Parkins not only taught me to find hope, but she helped me find something that everyone desires to have. Joy. See, joy is finding the strength to laugh through an unhappy situation. Joy is finding the good and the bad, a reason to smile when you're sad. My great-grandmother used to say that this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world surely can't take it away. That's because joy is already in the book of life. We were all destined to have it, but we become so focused on our problems that we stop trusting in the book of life. When we let our problems consume us, we will become miserable, unable to find light in our darkest moments. But to get that joy back, oh, that sweet, sweet joy we're all destined to have, we must start trusting in the book of life. Letting go of the things beyond our control. Stopping to listen and learn from life. And having hope deep down in our hearts that our next chapters will be better. This year I have traveled 100,000 miles. And have seen members all around the nation who've been the Mama Parkins in other people's lives. Members like Dustin from Massachusetts, who lets go of the things beyond his control and sees each new day as an opportunity to learn. Or like Zachary from Connecticut, who lives with joy just by simply being a light in other people's lives. Or like Dylan from Arizona, who spent his time at Chopped Officer Leadership Training, encouraging others to join his suicide prevention walk after losing his grandfather a few years ago and not wanting anyone to go through that tragedy, that suffering, and that pain ever again. Or like Tori from South Dakota, who has learned to live with joy after losing not only one but two sisters and struggles with the pressures of being the oldest in her family, but has learned to smile by helping families going through hardships, by creating scrapbooks for them to help them live with joy. See, these members have found joy in their lives. Do you want to find the joy in your life? Now, this isn't a rhetorical question. I'm serious. Do you want to find the joy in your life? Well, please, please listen clearly to these words. See, life, it's like a book filled with stories, so many mysteries. We have to learn to trust in it to turn our struggles into history. In life, we're clouded by the worries of tomorrow and today, but you gotta learn to smile, so listen to what I say. Those worries are often things that we cannot control, causing us to feel like joy is lost from within our soul. To get your joy back, you must trust by saying no to the worry and deciding, I let go. Stop to listen and learn from what life is trying to teach you. Whether loneliness or heartbreak, find joy when you're feeling blue. Look into the future and have hope that tomorrow will be better. Trusting in the book of life. These words you must remember. Trusting in the book of life. I get it. It's not easy. It's pretty difficult. But you must believe that joy is going to be the end result. So pull out your phone, flip to Twitter, go ahead and start tweeting. The words of my mama, the book of life is already written. In pain, in happiness, in love, in strife. I'm here today to challenge you to trust in the book of life.
To speak life.
John, while we may not know where you or your stuff is most of the time, we always know where your heart is. We admire the love that you show to your family and are inspired by how much that love has poured into our team and members you have met this year. Your ability to show love is undeniable, and our endless life chats have given us all a new perspective on this world. Thanks for your bountiful laughter, for always showing courtesy to everyone, and for your love of some good gospel music. You can because you did, and we will love you always. Ashley, Victoria, Valerie, Trey, and David. Ladies and gentlemen, your Southern Region Vice President, Deshaun Blanding.
To speak life.